Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. See the Adam Carolla Show like never before in 360-degree virtual reality. Visit podcastone.com/CarollaVR to download the sold-out show at Esports Arena in Santa Ana with guest Real Housewife of Orange County, Heather Dubrow.
You women, you do a lot of complaining with all the Me Too movement, all this stuff.
Yes, a lot of complaining.
Yeah, yeah. You pay less for your auto insurance.
There's a bonus.
You live 7 years longer.
Right. And the crappy ones at the end.
When the Guatemalan lady kicks the door open on your bathroom, we can all pretend you were taking a piss.
Plus, Gina, Bald Brian, and a sold-out Orange County crowd. Again, visit podcastone.com/CarollaVR and get it on in virtual reality. More info at adamcarolla.com. Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, comic book author Dan Fogler, with Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Dr. Bruce returns for Health Watch with Dr. Spaz. And now, a man who has turned masturbation into an art form so much that he whacks poetic. Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. A choice for the gun mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, and we appreciate that you keep us going all these years. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian. Fame is a bitch. Yeah, love that show. AJ. Murders and
Mysteries and Scandals.
There we go. That's everyone screws it up. All right. I want to thank Dollar Shave Club for this half of the show. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/Adam. Get your first kit for $5. Butcher Box just had their steak last night. And get $10 off. You go, and some free bacon. Who doesn't love free bacon? Free shipping. Castrol Edge as well. Tell you a little more about Castrol Edge in a second. Dr. Spaz is coming in.
It's been too long. It's been just long enough, actually.
Well, we saw him at the wedding.
Oh, that's right.
That was lovely, Brian. It was lovely.
It was lovely.
I love I love a good goofball. I'm a fan of a good goofball. I don't like mean guys. And
who's a good dude?
The worst. There's two qualities. I realize there's a quality I hate more than soft on a guy. I hate soft. I hate when guys, I hate tattletales. Mm-hmm. I hate when people are like, I just thought you should know, or I just forwarded this email, or I wanted you to find out. Like, we've all been there. We've all done that. It's little situations, little dust ups with people. And all that other person did was make it worse.
Yeah.
And they never, well, first things first, they don't have to say anything in the first place, but they choose to say something. And then when they choose to say something, it never comes out in the context that you were saying it. Right. It's always an inflation. The person never gets a clear shot at it. They just get that version of it. And now they're angry and agitated.
Which is the point of the I thought you should know person.
Yeah.
It's under the guise of, oh, this is necessary.
Yeah.
Although it's weird because it's the opposite of necessary. Mm-hmm. Like literally, Bald Brian leaves the room and I lean over to Gina and went, I don't like his zodiac sign.
I love when he does. He does it all the time.
And I'm not a Pisces guy. What are you again?
A Virgo. I have no idea.
I like Virgo guy. All right. Now, one could argue that if I said, God, he's got bad breath, at least if you share that with him, and that would be out of line, but if you share that with him, he'd go, well, maybe I should start flossing or something. There might be something there. These are zeros.
Yeah.
You go share it with him. It makes him feel a little bit bad about himself, and then it causes some friction between he and I.
Static.
You get nothing except for the part where somehow your nipples get hard because we're arguing in the background as you're walking to get your Subaru and head back to your apartment. And that shouldn't do a thing for you.
Yeah.
You should actually not like that.
Yeah, a little turned off by that. The only flaw in that hypothetical example is you would never talk to Gina off the air.
That's true.
That's true.
It's a very, very good point.
Exquisitely true.
I have a really good example of this. In college, there was this big scandal because my boyfriend of 3 years cheated on me with somebody in our department. So everybody knew but me. And it was a big deal. And finally, one of my good friends at a party went up to my boyfriend.
Hold on. Yeah. Same department?
Yeah.
Huge titty committee?
Yep.
Wow. One of those other busty gals?
Yeah. She was, actually.
Right. She was?
Yeah.
Wow. So I could have done the math on that.
A good friend of mine went up to him. I didn't know any of this. And she said, you are going to tell her tonight. And if you don't tell her tonight, I'm telling her tomorrow. So there wasn't this big rush to be the hero of I just thought you should know. She still said, you will tell her tonight. I'm giving you one more chance. And he did, and it was horrific.
This girl's looking out for girls, though, right?
Yeah, but it could have been so easy to say, hey, girl, you want to get a drink or something? I have some news you should
know. Because there is some pornographic joy that some people take about telling that news.
That's what I mean. And she stepped back and said, I'll give you one more chance to do the right thing, and then I'm pulling the plug.
Mm.
I respect that.
Mm-hmm.
Ethical.
She's a lesbian, so maybe it's different.
She was like, I'm
not as catty.
I got to tell you, when my buddy Snake found my buddy Ray making out with my buddy Chris's girlfriend.
The diagram.
It's great, though. When he literally just said, I'm going back in that party and I'm going to tell Chris, unless you start making out with me.
Oh, my God. That's blackmail.
I love that.
It's good.
Sexual payola.
It's so strong. What a move.
She obviously wasn't opposed to the idea.
Well, so first off, Ray told her he had to do it. Yeah. She had to do it. And then number two, like in that moment, look. We've established that you don't mind more than one mouth. What's a third, you know? And by the way, that is the opposite of what I'm talking about. This is, I'm getting something out of the deal. And we're going to avoid this melee that happens in this living room 20 minutes from now when I drop the bomb. So
truly win-win.
This is motivated. I have no problem. And it shows...
Certain amount of moxie.
Like if this was an 80s movie, I'd go, kid, you remind me of me.
A young Adam Carolla.
He was older than me. All right. Let's see. Weird. It's kind of weird. I would love to open up this subject and you guys could tweet me. But Airbnb all over the place. Mm-hmm. Airbnb, I'm sure they have them in Nebraska. And some of the details and some of the asks and some of the things are different. And we're shooting a comedy special in Portland. That's June 9th. You want to come out and see that. And so we're needing an Airbnb because there's going to be equipment and crew and things like that. So I told Matt, look for an Airbnb around the Portland area. And we've looked for Airbnbs in Europe. We look for Airbnbs all over the country. And he's coming back with these weird reports. And I thought, oh, it's Portlandia.
It reflects the region.
It reflects the region. And Max Zapata has a couple of those Airbnbs. I didn't get into all the minutia. It's just Matt was explaining that they're a little bit weird.
Must compost.
And
things like that.
Yeah, let's see if you can share a few of those.
All right, so here's a few highlights. One is our home is inhabited by three wonderful indoor-only cats. Abby, Double, and Triple, all named after Belgian beer. They're very sweet.
No.
They're very sweet and loving and a real treat to watch play. When requesting to rent, please mention that you have seen this note and that you have cat lovers in your group. Important.
In the group.
Important. If rental more
ooh,
than...
Ooh, I'd like to be the Shabbos Goyim of cat lovers. So that people who were traveling in a group of non-cat lovers who wanted to go to Portland would have to bring me along.
You'll handle it.
Like, I don't know you. I don't know your family. I'm not sure what we're doing in Portland, but for a couple hundred bucks a day, I'll be the cat lover.
That's good.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. I know how to pet things with the back of my hand. You guys all used the front part. I used the back part. Sorry. Name of the cats.
Named after beers.
All right.
Important. If rental more than 3 days, we ask that you spend a few moments each day to care for the cats, feeding and kitty litter.
That's almost parody.
I love it. Yes. I love when, first, I love when everything's on brand.
Like
perfect on brand, Portland, number one. Number two, when people are selling something and then have a bunch of requests that go along with the selling of the thing. And my thing is, like, I have bought houses from people that are like, well, my parents lived in that house and you're not going to do anything with the magenta room, are you? And it's like, I am going to take some of the fabric off the wall. Like, well, we don't. And it's like, look, you want to lower the price 20 grand, we can talk.
Do you want the 500 grand or not?
But as long as I'm paying full freight.
Don't worry about it.
Then I get to come in here. And if you want me to pet the cats, that's good. Then back off 20 bucks a day off the price or whatever you need, whatever your ask is, fine. Back it off.
Yes.
But bigger picture, maybe this isn't the business for you.
Well, you know what's funny about this? It seems like this is an ad on the exact wrong website. This should be on Wags or Rover and them saying, we will pay you to come cat sit.
Exactly.
This is insane.
So we have
actually, when I moved into that warehouse I just got, our neighbor, it's a leather making business. She was sizing us up and she said, all right, as long as you guys are cool with cats, because we have a lot of alley cats in that area, and she feeds them, and she says, as long as we're cool with the cats, she's cool with us. And she says, just be nice to them. I get the food from Costco. I feed it. Just if you see the water empty, just fill the water up. It's right outside her door. And then that's it. And we're cool.
Wow. Shouldn't you be paying me?
Yeah, this is crazy.
So backtrack a second. You need to pet the cats if you're going to be there for more than 3 days.
Feeding, kitty litter cleaning. Yeah, just take care of them. Spend a few moments each day to care for the cats. That's all.
Doesn't more than two cats feel like a little bit of a deal breaker for most people when they're going
in?
Imagine it's just a hotel room.
Yeah.
It's like this hotel room has three cats.
Any other living being that you're responsible for.
Right.
They are really, Gina's right. They're running a scam because this should be, we're paying you to come cat sit. Yeah. But no, you pay us to come live here. If you don't mind watching after the cats.
Yeah, I'm going out of town this weekend and I'm getting my first dog sitter. And this is like a huge process and I'm paying top dollar because I want this dog cared for. I should have just said, Airbnb, come stay at my house. But
P.S.
I have a dog. Take care of him and pay me.
Pet cockroach as well, right?
Yeah. Oh, can we just talk about that for a hot second?
Yes.
I know people say this all the time, but I mean it. I swear to God. I saw the biggest cockroach I've ever seen in my life scurry across my kitchen counter. I screamed like Ika Mouse cartoon scream.
We're looking at it. Yeah, right.
Freaked out. Just started blasting it with Clorox. You could have put a saddle on it. That's me after I just blasted the shit out of it with Clorox. And it was still very much alive and laughing at me.
I don't think you did anything other than annoy it.
I freaked out. I threw a mug over it. I got 90% of it under the mug and half of his head. Just trapped. So I had to I was running late. I had to get here for work. And I thought, there's no way this mostly decapitated, drowning in Clorox bug is going to be alive when I got back.
Put the picture up at
AdamCarolla.com.
You just made it stronger.
I lifted the mug off when I got home, and the thing was fit as a fiddle. And my friend had to come over and kill it because this was terrifying. This was not cool. Now that I live alone, there are things that I've risen to the occasion multiple times. This is not one of them. This sucks.
I'm with you.
So what do I do? Do we spray? Is this the only cockroach in the building?
There's usually just one,
you got the one. They're lone wolves. You see that movie with Mark Wahlberg where he was a sniper?
Right.
It's like that.
Okay, works alone.
But with cockroaches.
So it's done.
He's the best. He retired.
Yeah.
He came out to scurry across one more kitchen counter, and now it's done.
He works alone.
He works alone.
Okay, I feel much better. Thank you.
The good news is they're so big that unless you leave the front door open, they won't be able to get in to your unit.
That's true.
Yeah. I had a girlfriend. Cynthia was her name. I slept over at her apartment. I woke up in the middle of the night. And I had a cockroach that size on me. It's on my arm. And I freaked out and I threw it on the ground. And it was sort of middle of the nighty, and
never going to throw a bug.
Yeah,
I took like a big throw pill, and I just set it on top of this thing, and I went to bed. And the next day, when I woke up, it was gone. And when it's gone, it's like that thing was a moose. I'm never going in that apartment.
You got to burn the house down.
It's apartment. Yeah. All right. Wait. I want to hear. So we have more Airbnb entries from Portlandia.
Yeah.
I'd like people to find some of the craziest ones. I would also like
care for it each day.
I bet we could play a game. Now, we couldn't go with every city in the country, but you could say, is this Nebraska? Portland? Is this Texas? Where Florida? I bet you we could figure it out.
We'll call it Airbnb.
Airbnb.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
There you go. Let me tell you first about Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club, more than just razors. They deliver everything you need. Look, feel, smell your best. Shampoo, body wash, toothpaste. True. Hero of the morning routine, by the way, Dr. Carver's shave butter. You have a better shaving stream. Very smooth. Just a little dollop goes a long way, and it's just razor just glides along your whiskers. They have amazing high-quality razors that come right to your door. You never have to go out, wait in line, or get the guy to open the shark cage, get the thing out of it. They have the executive razor and the shave butter. It's just the best. All delivered to you. No more trips to the store. No wandering the aisles hunting for razors, shampoo, etc. Toothpaste, they do as well. Just look, you're worth it. Your time is worth something, people. Don't go to the store. Don't wait in line. Go with Dollar Shave Club, right, Dawson?
For a mind-blowing experience, join Dollar Shave Club today, and for just $5, with free shipping, you'll get 6-blade executive razor, plus trial sizes of shave butter, body cleanser, and one wipe Charlie's. Then keep the blades coming for a few bucks more a month. Get yours at dollarshaveclub.com/Adam. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Adam.
All right, so that's the cat condo. Is there more to that one?
No, that was the one.
Right.
That was all of it for that particular Airbnb. Then you have another one, 4 asterisks. Cats are indoor only cats. Please don't let them outside.
It's just weird. Like,
you're pet sitting, man.
It's weird when you're doing the Airbnb and it's like, they got rules. And like, hey, you take your shoes off, do this, do that. You can't get anything in this cabinet or whatever. But there's like no smoking on the property. And like, well, how about I sit out on the patio with Dawson and have a drink and a smoke at the end? And I was like, not on the prop. What do you mean? Go find a construction site or a public park or something? Like, what's wrong with smoking outside on the patio? I was like, no.
No, nowhere in the patio.
It's just, boundaries. Again, don't get into the business if you have these rules. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Continue, Max Pata.
Another one is other things to note. We do welcome pets and have one indoor cat. Will not be in your space, but please let us know ahead if you plan on bringing a furry one of your own.
Wow.
Speaking of having them get along.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, start a little club.
Any more? Any others?
Those are just the three that Matt gave to me in his search for your Airbnb.
Come in heavy with the cat stuff.
Yeah. You know what always kind of settles everything? So I was like, Matt, get away from Portland, get closer to the airport. Move toward the airport. The sanity, it gets saner. It gets humbler.
We're nothing but
less asks as you get closer to. There's a humbling effect to living by the airport versus living in the place with the bubblers going 24/7. And the second I told him, just move toward the airport, because he was like, well, I got to get something by the venue. But I was like, we really just need between the venue and the airport. Right. That anything in that stretch will work. As soon as he got closer to the airport, we then found that there are
many better non-cat options.
That's right. All right. Dr. Spaz is out there. Why don't you get, let's see. You know, before we get too far down the road, there's a couple of Bill Maher clips I wanted to play from a while ago. Speaking of Portland, well, not Oregon, Washington, that is, but I think Governor Jay Inslee, I think, is one of the guys. I marvel at politicians because I marvel at how much they've changed in the past few years. And then also I marvel at the fact where a guy's like 55 and has turned into a different person at 56 and a half. Like, where were you with all this stuff back in the day? This guy, Jay, is it Inslee?
Inslee. So
he is a world-class douche sock. And he's very proud of...
he's the governor of Washington?
He's the governor of Washington. And... So I'm going to start with cut three where – so Jordan Peterson is explaining, here's what's going on with the kids. They're getting too coddled. You don't like them. They're going into these colleges. They're getting indoctrinated. They're turning out to be little douchebags, and that's not good because when you go out in society
– you're going to face some pushback.
Can I tell you, as the boss – having my hash settled or being set straight by young douchebag du jour.
It's pretty awesome.
It's not endearing. Oh, okay. It's not endearing. It doesn't make me think, I got to get that person. Yeah. I move that person up that ladder.
He stood up to me.
I go is, what's wrong with these kids? And then I go, what's wrong with their parents? And then I realize it's not their fault. They grew up in this environment. But there was a school shooting in Florida 10 minutes ago. The kids went on the march. Hogg got on the microphone, and in the last 10 minutes, somehow politicians decided that kids were the future. This didn't exist before the school shooting. Yeah. They're all up about the kids. Now, they're all like, oh, well, these kids, I got to listen to these kids. I didn't hear any words, even the most progressive and the greatest and the best that you love the most and the hardest left. I didn't hear any discussion from Obama about, we got to listen to what these kids are saying. I mean, everyone kissed babies and did the, you know, Whitney Houston, Children of the Future, right. But we didn't go, let's talk to them about policy.
Right.
That was not part of it. This guy's what, 67 years old? And Jordan Peterson is talking about what little douchebags these kids are becoming and how they're not likable and how it's going to be tough on them. And he begs to differ.
The kids are not the problem here. The kids get climate change. The kids get gay marriage. The kids get legalization of marijuana. The kids get saying we should step on Donald Trump every chance we get. The kids are not. The kids are just fine. They're the smartest generation.
You know what the kids also get?
That
you can call
generation.
Social services if your parent does anything you don't like.
The kids don't have
That's one reason parents are not rough with their kids. I don't mean physically rough. I mean in any way rough, because kids do know that they can do that.
The only problem with kids is they don't vote. That's the only problem with kids. And if you got a kid out there, tell them to vote next November, will you? We got to go on the vote.
What a disingenuous sack of douche this guy is. The kids, that's the kids, not the problem. The kids, first off, fuck those kids. 17-year-olds are idiots. They're asshole idiots who hate good music. They hate everything that's good, and they're idiots. We shouldn't listen to them. And when did this, I'd love to find a reel of this guy talking about the kids all throughout his political career, because it doesn't exist.
If it was a graph, it'd be peaking precipitously
right
about now.
That's right. The only problem is they're not voting. We need more young, dumb people setting policy.
Is it coming as a surprise to you that a politician is riding the most popular wave at the moment?
I do not.
It's very fashionable right now.
I get it, but we're trying to have a sort of intellectual discussion with a guy who's like a clinical psychologist about what's going on with kids and why things aren't working out the way we'd like them to work out. And then you don't have to bloviate and dive in and crap all over the guy. The smart guys in the room's point, which probably could add a little head on there at the little setup, but that'll get that next time. That was Peterson talking about.
We skipped ahead number three, so maybe one or two.
We can hear Jordan talking about making your kids likable. He did it on this show. A very good point, which is if your kids aren't likable and you don't like them, send them out into society. People aren't going to like them.
I still think about when Jordan Peterson came in here, was talking about rough play with your kids. I was literally just talking about that last night with someone who tests his daycare. I was like, oh no, like we talked to a guy and he kind of opened my eyes like, you should play around with your kids in a rough way, because it's not only good for them to know this hurts, this doesn't hurt. They know what they can do. They know how they can play with others, and they're not going to get others hurt, because they know what the limits are and the boundaries, and they understand how to play in a physical way. I still think about that. It left an impression on me.
Well, he's a guy who basically studies stuff all day long, and you should listen, and we should listen to where he lands.
Even if it goes against your instincts. Like, I would imagine our instincts as parents is like, oh, be gentle with the kid. It's a baby or it's a whatever. Yeah, don't roughhouse. No, go ahead.
You kind of know what works by what everyone did or does. I have a big fat lab, and he wants to roughhouse. I don't go to him. Hey, no. Here's something furry and soft and cuddly, and you just quietly sit.
Calm down.
No, the dog's doing what young dogs, male, different than the female lab. The female lab like to mix it up too, but Phil really wants to mix it up. He's doing what his instincts or what his training and what somehow nature and her infinite wisdom. Oh, by the way, if God can be a chick, Bad news, Gina.
Father Nature.
Mother Nature can be a dude, yeah. Or at least
Come
transitioning.
On. No.
That's right.
Mother Nature, the goddess of Earth.
What's next, Father Earth?
White dude with a comb over. Now, I think nature knows what they're doing. Nature's instilled this in the dog. The dog is learning to play in roughhouse and whatever else. When the kid wants the roughhouse, that's the exact same thing. Yeah. That's so. Why are we arguing with what is? We're now at a point in time where we're trying to talk people out of what is. Like, hey, you want to get up and rough? Sit there. Put your hands by your side and act like a more evolved human being. Sorry, Maxipata. Do you have Jordan with the kids and the likable part?
Little kids have a wonderful element to them. And if they and most people spontaneously like little kids, they'll give them a chance. And if you have little kids, one of the things that's so wonderful about it is
he
that when you
kids.
Bring them out into the world, even people who aren't in good shape, rough people, and who maybe don't have much patience for humanity, it brings out the best in them, you know? And so people are willing to give your kids a chance. But then if they misbehave, especially if they're rude and they don't have any respect and they're whiny and they don't know how to listen, then people don't like your kids and you don't. And then your kids go out into a world where no one likes them. And that's what you... Well, that's what you do to your kids if you don't like them. You send them out into that world.
But, right. But how did parents get so pussy whipped by their own children? I mean, that's really what it is. I mean, it's like they act the way a guy acts when he's super sprung on some chick and just lets her walk all over him, and whatever she does he puts up with. I don't get how we got to that.
Well,
place.
I think parents are afraid of exercising authority because they tend to think that authority will crush the creative spirit of their child.
Oh, fuck.
Well, that is...
Yeah. Mar hates kids, which is funny. So I ran into him at Seth MacFarlane's party. He's like, how's it going with the wife and the kids? I go, that's going good. Okay.
Seriously.
You can tell me.
I was like, my kids are fun. I have a good time with them. He's like, right. Yeah. But honestly.
I'm
like,
drink.
Ask you one more time.
We'll get it out.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, I'm having a good time with one and a half of them, you know, at least. And it's where they start coming online. Took a nice walk with Sonny last night and start talking to him about logic and thinking and problem solving. And kid's pretty sharp. Not a good student.
It wasn't a waste of his time?
What are you talking about?
You know, I got to tell you the problem. The problem, you go, oh, the parents are pussy whipped. The parents, the society is pussy whipped because I get these proclamations all the time where, like, Lynette goes, hey, listen. These dads are involved. Like, they're volunteering. They're at the school. They're doing the projects. They're doing the stuff. Like, what's going on? Everyone is, and we're getting, you get kind of shamed because you're the dad who doesn't show up at the whatever that
bake
everyone
sale.
Else, the bake sale that everyone else volunteered. And I'm like, hey, I pay a ton in taxes and, I work a lot and I travel a lot. And, no, I'm not going to go, blow up the, bouncy castle just, by putting my lips on it. I'll pay someone to do it or whatever. And it's like, hey man, everyone, there's this crazy bar that's set now that didn't exist. My dad didn't go to one thing and neither did Ray Oldhoffer's dad and neither did Chris Bohm's dad. Their dad never showed up. It's not like they...
So 66% of the time it turns out horribly?
They didn't even know who each other were. They gotta ask my dad today if he knows who Ray or Chris's dad is. They never met. They never went anywhere. They never did anything. Now, they're all horrible, horrible examples of fathers. But even the good dads, they didn't see them at any things. The kids showed up to the stuff, you know, twice a year, once a year for like an open house or if there's some recital or something. But it wasn't a constant beating of the drum.
I'm sure
like
it's a generational shift.
Every weekend, somebody's got to be manning this and doing this. And then you become the bad parent because you're not interested. And also... It's not moving the needle. Well, like, it's clear who these kids are.
And, you know, just how far we've come is when I was little, my dad was on the road a lot, you know, with basketball and football and announcing and stuff.
Pouring and everything.
Pouring. And so when he'd be back for, you know, a chunk of time, he'd be up at the school with the kids. Now, it was so weird to see.
Yeah, molesting and all.
Correct.
Pouring on the road, molesting in your own backyard.
Incorrect.
Keep going.
It was so weird to see a dad at the school that he would still be introduced as the room mother. Right. Today we have Mr. Grad as the room mother. It just wasn't done. You didn't see it.
These dads are all up in the school's grill now, and it's weird. Like, we should be traveling and banging our secretaries with a highball about noon. All right, one more.
The meeting with that mantra. From, what are we doing here?
Colossal Governor Douchebag of Washington State. And this is him. Now, again, we got to have a dialogue about race. This is what we need to do with Starbucks. Lots and lots of proclamations about what we need to do, mostly involving a dialogue, but I rarely hear any actual answers in terms of what we need to do. But here we go.
So to hustle people along because they're black seemed particularly egregious.
Well, listen, we're glad in Washington State we're going to have a company that isn't serving just coffee. We're going to serve justice by fixing this problem.
Douchebag.
He was so excited to say that.
And the Republicans to say that the arc of history that has, you know, arrived at paradise when racism does not exist doesn't understand history or psychology. You know, King talked about the long arc of justice.
Right.
It's long, but it bends to justice. Look, we're not at the end of that arc. We're maybe at the middle. And we have got to, all of us, I think, ought to be following Starbucks' example. We've done that in the state of Washington, where I've had our cabinet members go through this training to understand inherent bias. We know it's deep. We know the neuroscience makes us somewhat suspicious that people don't look like us in the...
All right, well, wait a minute. If it's a neuroscience situation, then having the bitch in the amber beads coach you up for 45 minutes,
help that much.
How does that help your neuroscience? Yeah. How do we get this? So, listen, this is beyond a cultural thing. Yeah. It's a neuroscience, and
hard-wired.
We're scared of people that are different than us. What a colossal douchebag this guy is.
Even the woman in the middle looks confused by what he's saying.
Yeah, well, he's a hero because in Washington State, he's wasted everyone's tax dollars by training these people. Evidently, this training doesn't seem to work because how could it work? It's in neuroscience. It's biology.
They're going to serve coffee. They're going to serve justice.
They're going to serve justice.
He was so excited.
Yeah. Tall justice.
Love that. He loved it.
A grande.
And I can't wait till we have a perfect union where if you go into Starbucks or the state of Washington or in Washington, D.C., you're judged on the content of your character, not your skin. We're not there yet. It's time for the Republicans to figure that out.
We got to get there. We got to have a dialogue. All right. But it's a neurological problem. So what are we going to do? Yeah, I did run into that because in the old man's basketball league on Sunday night, I showed up last Sunday, was like 80% Asian.
Oh.
And
a lot of point guards.
Because of my wiring, I thought... a lot of guys hustling after loose balls.
A lot of diving after
a little less dunking and a little more diving. That's what my neuroscience told me.
Were you right?
I'll tell you, it was great. The Asians hustle so much that Sonny...
How much do they hustle?
I told Sonny, put down the goddamn video game, the Fortnite.
Yeah.
Put down the goddamn Fortnite and come with your dad to the old man basketball game. And he's like, oh, what's in it for me? Because, you know, Jordan Peterson told he's ruined. And I'm like, you can play ball. You can play with the big boys,
ooh,
you know. And I was like, all right, he has done it before. And the conceit when Sonny comes out and plays the 5-on-5 with the 6'2 dudes is the last time we did it, he was on the team opposite of me, and I sort of like half guarded him, but let him set up and try to put down a few threes.
Should have swatted him into the first row.
And I gave him the minute with the finger.
That's right. The wag.
Matumbo, yeah, with the wag. Somehow this time it worked out where eventually he got into the game, but he was on my team. So there was just this young 6'2 Asian dude covering him, and
he was all
away from the ball. He's hitting him with his body.
Wow.
Sonny gets the ball. As soon as he crosses half court, the guy's on him. He's poking his hands out. He's blanking him. And like, kind of as a dad, I want to go, listen, dude, let the guy just dribble the ball and pass it. When he's trying to pass, he's like surrounding, he's wrapping him up and trying to swat the ball away.
Up.
Yeah, but the way I'm wired with my neuroscience. Yeah.
That will make Sonny a better player.
It will make Sonny a better player.
He'll never go back.
Yeah. Or he'll quit and go
that's
gay.
True. That's not true.
But either way.
Either way.
There's going to be a change. There's change in the wind. All right. Let me tell you about Butcher Box. Love these guys. Delivering healthy, 100% grass-fed and finished beef and free-range chicken and a heritage breed pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. So I was talking to these guys, and they were telling me about it, and I said, I don't know what heritage breed pork is. Mm-hmm. And he said, remember when it became the other white meat and it got really dry? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And when I was a kid, Mama Carolla didn't make pork chops, but yes. Chris Bohm's mom, Barbara, made pork chops. And I would go there and eat pork chops, and they were incredible. Mm-hmm. And then later on, it's like the other white meat, and it got all weird and dry mm-hmm. and everything. They said over at Butcher Box, the guy said, because they bred them that way. They got all the fat. They get it down and lean. They lost the flavor. And so the heritage breed is the old school that you remember.
We're back, baby.
That Vinny loves. Unbelievable.
That's fascinating and delicious.
All products are humanely raised and never given antibiotics or hormones. Taste is unbelievable. I had the steak last night. As God is my witness, Lynette made the chicken on Sunday night. It was all fantastic. Even old guy, it's a little bit of a steak, can be a steak snob, said, ooh, this is really good. I didn't tell her what it was, and Sonny ate it as well. I got a special offer. I'm going to try the heritage breed. It is thawing. I'm going to try it tonight. They got a special offer, $10 off and free bacon. That's the greatest two words ever combined. You go to butcherbox.com and use the discount code Adam plus free shipping anywhere in the 48 states. No commitment. Cancel easily anytime and enjoy. It is that good. Butcher Box. All right. Let's see. We got Dr. Spaz out there with a health watch. Why don't we take a quickie break and bring him in?
This week at AdamCarolla.com, Take a Knee with Adam Carolla and Rob O'Neill.
I was talking to some of my friends who are actually on the Devon Rate that are out now, instructors, and they said they're seeing a lot of the entitlement of these kids coming in that aren't even, they haven't even finished day one of SEAL training, but they're entitled because they've had in a contract that they get a chance and they pass the basic test. You know, they still have 8-9 months of the hardest training in the world, and I said, well, how do you describe them? And he said, iPhones and air laps, meaning they're always on their phones and they're walking around like the guy that just left the gym and had a back workout.
And air laps.
Air
like
laps.
That.
Yeah, I dug that. He was just frustrated. He's happy to be hitting retirement coming up here. But they're thinking even in that because they think just because they signed to attempt special forces, they're special already. And they get the hammer dropped on them out there.
Subscribe to Take a Knee with Adam Carolla for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. And get unlimited access to Adam Carolla's archives. Sign up for Podcast One Premium. Use the Podcast One app or click the link at AdamCarolla.com. Health Watch with Dr. Spaz.
Dr. Spaz in the house.
Yeah.
Good man. Again, good lenses, bad frames. He knows his stuff. Working in addiction medicine, working at the ER.
Little ER there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Taking
the rebar out of the Mexicans since 1981.
Sometimes Hondurans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's Hondurans in there as well. So what do you got?
Oh, we're going right into that. I'm not going to get any more abuse.
No.
It's been too long. You're an old friend.
Well, yeah. Please.
Start on a high point.
Mm-hmm.
Heroin.
American
heroin.
Yeah.
And we're finding heroin.
He works the argument. He's full of gas. With jail in his hair, he's not too bad. He's got good lenses, but real bad frames. Some call him Bruce, but there's another name. We call
Dr. Spaz,
People love the song.
American heroin.
So, people are trying to get cheap Botox. Turns out that in brown tar heroin, there's Clostridium botulinum toxin. Mm-hmm. So when people skin pop or sometimes shoot heroin, they're getting infected with the Clostridium.
Mm-hmm. And when?
There's 6 cases in San Diego. This is all very recently. Oh. But it's been going on. You look in the medical literature, there are cases for decades.
Oh, yeah.
So Clostridium, heroin, but mm-hmm. Botox. Botox comes from Clostridium, the bacteria, mm-hmm. but it's very carefully doled out and injected. Of course, I remember injecting it into your forehead to stop the sweating at one point.
They didn't tell me. It's such an insane thing. They go, hey, you got a sweaty forehead. I go, yeah. They go, this is injected with Botox and your sweaty forehead will stop. They didn't tell me that it was an injection every 3/16 of an inch for your entire forehead. Oh, so you didn't have to get 128 injections into your forehead.
Right.
And it did absolutely nothing, by the way.
On the air on Loveline, and Drew was horrified. Horrified.
Were you frozen for a while? Was your face frozen?
No.
No, your forehead doesn't, I don't know, seem to move that much. Or I wear a lot of ball caps or something. Anyway.
So botulism's all over the place. In kids under 12 months, that's why they can't have honey, because it's in the honey and their systems can't process.
That was the only thing our doctor said we really couldn't give tests in the first year. Peanut butter, fine. Everything else, fine.
Right.
No honey.
Right. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought it was a huge part of my childhood, honey.
Well, until her first year. She has honey now, but the first year, couldn't have honey.
Oh, wait. Did you say under 12?
12 months.
Oh, say year.
I did. Do you want to replay that?
No. I mean, just say kids under 12 months, just say under a year.
Under a year,
That's no reason.
Right. So heroin addicts are showing up. And the interesting thing with Clostridium, it affects fast-moving nerve junctions sooner. So they'll show up in the ER and they can't close their eyes. They have trouble swallowing. Tongue feels thick. And then the paralysis will descend. It's a descending paralysis. And eventually...
What do you make of all... Dr. Drew is always talking about the next outbreak because all the rats and the homeless and the fecal matter and all that stuff. And I think you and I have gotten into that a little bit.
Just saw an article actually yesterday. I was reading about house mice. They're looking at house mice, and they looked in New York City, but they've also looked in wealthy neighborhoods, poor neighborhoods, and they have superbugs. Some of the you hear about methicillin resistant staph. And the big concern now, I mean, people are concerned about rats. People are concerned about bubonic plague and squirrels in the mountains. But turns out these are incubators for superbugs.
Right.
Mice. Is this the same thing as the Hunta virus that had the outbreak with the mice or no?
That's different. So rat droppings, now it's in that was in New Mexico. But Hunta virus, yeah. So these rodents, when they proliferate, they do tend to – but these are – it was surprising for these little mice in the city to be incubators of superbugs.
What are all these homeless people going to get? Like hepatitis?
I don't know. Maybe that meets your theory about being exposed to dirt.
Oh, they're going to live forever.
Mm. Yeah.
We got to go full Soylent Green with their ass then.
No, with the resurgence, with the opiate epidemic and people injecting, there's just a big increase in hepatitis C. HIV, and people don't realize when you snort the straw, you can also convey these.
Well, there's good news because Gavin Newsom's going to soon be governor of California.
I'll fix it.
But you went to San Francisco recently. I mean, you walk down the street and it's
a paradise. I know. You don't have to tell me.
Paved in gold, right?
I have. I've seen his commercial, and he's going to take care of all this stuff.
Right.
You just watch. Listen, he talks about cleaning up the homeless and talks about the unemployment situation and prison overcrowding, the schools, and the whole nine yards. So he's on top of his game. Max Spada? Yeah?
The LA Times called Gavin Newsom ahead of the pack from gay marriage to gun control. The first mayor to recognize marriage equality. The first...
Such a pressing issue. It affects all of us so greatly. Because when you're driving in, that guy, is it about that guy? He was had his daughter on his lap, and he was down at like Huntington Beach with his daughter, like eating dinner or
Ventura,
and he was stabbed and killed in the neck by a disgruntled gay man who couldn't marry. Oh, no, wait, it was a homeless guy. I wonder what impacted that guy's life more greatly. the homeless guy put the shiv in the side of his neck, or gay equality? But by the way, you're the mayor of San Francisco. You've taken on the NRA. Ooh, what a bold stance! And you stood fast against for gay marriage. Again, another hey, you're not going to win a popularity contest in San Francisco, but I'll be damned. So Gavin's going to turn California around because of gay marriage. Okay. And
to provide health care to every resident.
Everyone's going
to
get something for free.
The first to take on the National Rifle Association and win. The one candidate with a record of bold leadership and bold results. It's why Kamala Harris, teachers, nurses, and firefighters.
Yeah, they're all unioned up, and they all have the unfunded liabilities, and they all everyone can retire at 50 and get paid, and we'll be bankrupt. But yeah, of course, all the unions have... the nurses' unions, the police department, of course, they get paid.
Rank and file nurses don't support his type of health plan, the universal.
Oh, no, but they support getting paid the same amount they're getting paid for the rest of their life. Yeah, all these guys support retiring at 52 and getting paid your full salary for the rest of your life. That'll get almost anyone's support.
Oh.
All right, so he's taking on gay marriage in the NRA.
Support Gavin Newsom for governor. Courage. For a change.
Change? You've been the lieutenant governor for 8 years. Courage. What are we changing?
Courage. Ugh. He's got courage. He's a bold man. And he's going to shut down these check cashing places, too, any day now. All right. So we got to take California. We got to whack it up into three. I've talked to Gergis about it.
Yes.
I've talked to Drew about it.
How do we support that?
There's a bill.
We got to get it pushed across, because otherwise it's going to be Gavin Newsom fighting the NRA while we're breaking off and crumbling into the ocean.
I think it's Northern, Southern, and New California.
I have a suggestion on that, and I've been holding on to this for a long time, but I really, really think that we should call the middle state California.
Okay.
California?
California goes from like Bakersfield to below.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just kind of cuts.
Oh, turnabout. Fair play. California.
That was a joke. All right.
You could have hung on to that for a little bit longer, but eventually it's got to leave the nest. I got it.
Yes.
The nest meaning your mouth covered with hair. All right, sorry.
Bad news. Bad news for Corolla Drinks.
Mm-mm.
The Lancet, most prestigious British medical journal.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You say anything bad about booze or coffee, and you'll never be welcome in this studio again.
I'll play you off.
I've said many times, there's a new study about booze every 10 minutes, and the last time a positive one came out, I said, no mas. We stop it here.
Moratorium.
I'm walking on thin ice anyway. I'm going for that ACE award again, so let me piss you off. So the recommendation in the article was 100 grams of alcohol per week, which is 5 to 6 glasses of wine or 5 to 6 pints of beer. Now, right now in the United States, it's 196, which would be double that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting. Italy and Portugal, Spain, 50% higher.
Why can't you pronounce words right?
Okay, you guys have your mouths altered. There's something wrong. Where'd you grow up? California. I'm from New York. This is the right way to pronounce words. Okay?
Yeah.
To be fair, my grandfather, whose parents were immigrated from Italy, he said Italy.
Italy.
Yeah.
Like, back in Italy.
My folks were from California originally.
I'm going to support these lower alcohol limits. So, In the United Kingdom, they...
So, wait. Where are we with Italy and Spain?
Those are 50% higher. They're at...
Than what they recommend or us?
Than us.
Ooh, so damn.
So, USA, 11... It comes out to about 11 glasses of wine or beer.
A week?
For men, yes, per week. But for women, it's half that.
Oh.
So, now, if we drop this...
These aren't the recommendations. This is what we're actually doing.
Right. Well, the recommendation is to drop it by 50%.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh. And interestingly enough, it's because the estimate is that if you're at 100 to 200 grams, which would be the 5 to 10 glasses of wine a week, decrease life expectancy by age 40 of 6 months. If you're at 21 drinks a week, 4 to 5 years.
Oh, wow.
21 drinks.
So if they... Well, you know, in New York, you can't buy a large soda in New York. So,
but you can drink till 4 in the morning at the bar.
Yeah, you can. That's true. I've never quite figured that one out.
Yeah.
I got to say, it's a trade-off I'm ready to make, number one. Number two, we're number one, so screw Spain and Italy. But also, we get it. Doctors want us to drink less, and we like drinking. So we drink more than what doctors want us to drink. But we have the, I think we have the same relationship with chili fries and stuff too, right? Like they don't really want us to do the chili fries, but we do the chili fries. But should we be doing heroin or something instead? Heroin,
I would not recommend heroin or fentanyl. Yeah.
But at least wine has, what's the word? It starts with an R.
Resveratrol.
That's the one.
Resveratrol.
Yeah, resveratrol is not found to be the promising antioxidant that it was.
Oh. Damn it.
So.
How about this? How about the fact that just mellows everyone's shit out to the point where we live in a slightly better world? What's going on with all the weed smoking? I mean, everybody's getting into the weed. And
are you able to prescribe that as like an alternative to the opiates?
No.
Or recommend it, I should say?
Yeah, there was just another article in the last week because there's so much publicity about, oh, with marijuana legalized and recreational encouraged, there's a decrease in opiate use. There are less overdoses, but it's really flawed data. I'm sure Drew's mentioned this. So the issue with cannabis is there's so much more information about when you start smoking as an adolescent, the rates of psychosis and lifelong issues with mental illness are significant. And when kids get when something's legal at age 18, it's a 15-year-old to get a hold of.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I have a question about that. So, you know, growing up in the Midwest, 15, 16 years old, start smoking a little ditch weed and whatever. It wasn't labeled this, but I like a fairly photographic memory. Like it was amazing. That is gone plus some. So I have no short-term memory. I struggle all the time. And some people have said to me, when did you first smoke weed? I was like, a teenager. He's like, that's why.
Ditch weed, which is hemp, is defined. It's the same plant, but less than 0.3% THC. So there's a lot of CBD in that. So that's probably the least objective.
Okay. Objectable. Maybe it's just me.
But the problem is the availability and the high potency of the pot. And there's, you know, the CB1 receptor and CB2 receptors immune system. The government needs to make it Schedule 2. There needs to be research done. It's Schedule 1, and you have the DEA very staunchly fighting against scheduling it as Schedule 2 because you can't get hold of it for research if it's Schedule 1.
Oh.
I always think about the great Dr. Drew, who just told me no free lunches in nature. Mm. Just look, if you're getting jacked up, you're getting altered.
You're paying for it somewhere.
You're getting altered and it's doing something, and that's the price you're paying for being altered. You could be huffing copier toner, smoking weed, or having a Jack Daniels. Like, you're getting a little altered. And then when you're done, there's a little fiddler to pay. Now, you have to sort of make that balance, and you have to sort of weigh the risk and the reward and all that kind of stuff, but there's just nothing in life that doesn't really, it's so weird. It's weird when you have kids, like, you know, Sonny's eating the oatmeal, the prepackaged oatmeal with the brown sugar and maple flavor. And I'm like, that's no good for you. And she's like, Mom says it's fine. I'm like, does it taste good? Yes. Do you enjoy it? Yes. Okay. Then it's no good. It's sad, but it's true. I mean, you could take the entire world and just break it into cereal. What cereal do you enjoy? I don't care what you're calling it. Cashew, go F yourself, or whatever, granola with nutrition oat clusters or whatever. If it's good, like if you do the move where you pour the cereal in, then you pour the milk in, and you lap up all the cereal, and then there's still some milk there, and you try to top it off again. With it. If that's your move,
wrong cereal.
It's not good for you. It's not good for you. And if there's a cereal that is good for you, it doesn't taste good. And that's life.
Yeah.
That's life. Now, it doesn't mean you don't get the sugar smacks every once in a while, but don't kid yourself.
Know what you're
doing. Not part of your daily routine.
That's the thing. It all comes down to breakfast. If it tastes yummy, it is not good for you. There's still, I told Vinny, I said, you know, Lynette likes like the breakfast bar in the morning. That's what she's used to. And I was like, yeah. So recommend a high-end one, you know, like an expensive one or one that needs to be refrigerated or one that's comes from Portlandia or something that I could buy for her. And he's like, there are no breakfast bars. And I was like, nothing? There's no breakfast bar? And there's like, well, there's one that's made of 100% buffalo meat. With like some pimento.
So a jerky.
Or something. I'm like, but that's just ground up. That's just meat. That's like a meat. Yeah. But what about something with some peanut butter or something? And it's like, no.
No.
No, because it tastes good.
That's the
there's
talent.
No such thing as a breakfast bar that tastes good and is good for you. It just doesn't exist. And there's one, and it's made of buffaloes. So that's it. So what else does anyone need to know?
Can't drink coffee anymore either. Cancer.
Oh, well, that's that's California.
Well, it turns out that stuff, what is it, acrylamide? It's anytime you roast anything. So, and now anything that's brown, if you're French fries,
let's not bring race into this. Throw your ass right out of the Starbucks. You keep talking that way.
Haven't coffee beans been roasted since time immemorial?
Isn't that how you make coffee?
Right. Right.
So
what do we do?
Come on.
Well, we're warned. Be warned.
Yeah.
Only is it, could it only be California? Are we the only people that have enough hubris or narcissism or stupidity to go, have a crazy homeless problem and a crazy problem with traffic and everything else, our air's the worst or whatever. And let's really hunker down and focus on warning labels on cups of coffee. Like
misery factor.
It's weird. And then, as I've always said,
and that's being progressive.
You put that on everything. Every bar has a thing about alcohol and pregnancy. Every gas pump has a thing about the fumes or the guy that you put on put it everywhere and it shall be nowhere because it's just one big pile of white noise and warnings from good old California. All right. Let me tell you about Castrol Edge. Speaking of gasoline, let's get some lubrication going up in that car. Smaller engines working hard. Oh, yeah. Got to strap a turbo on them, or maybe a couple, or maybe a supercharger, get that thing to work harder, but it's working harder. It needs better lubrication. That's where Castrol Edge comes in. Also, they made themselves a video, Titanium Gamer. You can check it out at Castrol USA YouTube page. It's a very interesting video. It's about whose driving skills are superior, the real or the computer-based one. Same person driving the simulator and driving on the actual track. So, Castrol USA YouTube page. Check out that video. Dr. Spaz over here. The Weekly Infusion podcast with Dr. Drew, available on Apple Podcasts. And you can shoot him a tweet to Dr. Bruce H. Dan Fogler's coming in here. Talk comic books and all sorts of other things with Dan. We'll do, let's see, take a quick break and do that right after this.